Paul tells Timothy and us to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. We'll take a look at that truth and how to handle it next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. All our lives we spend studying for this test, studying for that job, studying for this or that or the other thing. That's what we do. But when it comes to our relationship with Christ, oftentimes we leave off the study of God's Word, thinking it'll just happen by osmosis. Welcome to Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. If you'll join us for the next few minutes, we'll do just that. Study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. A workman who does not need to be ashamed. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for being with us on this Thursday session of Abounding Grace as we continue our discussion in Romans chapter 5 of the implications in our lives of the doctrine of justification by faith alone. This is not some dry dogma that sits on the shelf. This is a doctrine that is life-transforming and affects every area of life. We said this yesterday. I gave the example of an article that I found in Christianity Today that John Piper wrote. And he made the case in this article that great temptations for our young boys in society today and how to help them with regard to sexual sin due to how out of control pornography is. And he said, look, often he finds that after someone gets caught in this sin who's a Christian, they're so beat up and wounded that the devil has kicked them and the guilt of their sin makes them feel and think, look, there's no way I could be a Christian. There's no way I could do these things and be a Christian. Everyone's probably written them off due to the nature of the sin or whatever. There's no way I could be this depraved in my heart and do these things and still have the Spirit living within me. Every true Christian has wrestled with these things. And so they feel threatened, says Piper, to abandon the whole thing. One of the things he said, of which I agree, is that the doctrine of justification is a great weapon against such attacks. I mean, he was looking at Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he's made alive together with them, having forgiven you all trespasses. The passage is clear. The truth is that I've been made alive, I am forgiven, washed in Christ, and I have access by faith into this grace in which I stand. These are the fruits of justification, because what he's saying is the fact that I've been declared righteous doesn't change my status as a Christian when I fall and stumble in sin. I get up, I confess it, the Lord gives me grace and strength, and there's this exceeding great power in my life to kill that lust in the heart or whatever it may be. So we're looking at what Paul says now are the implications of having been declared righteous. So next he says, not only do we stand by this grace, but we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's Romans 5:2. So having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And then he says, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God in verse 2. Our lives are now ones full of rejoicing because we have this firm hope of the glory of God. And this should really make the Christian rejoice today. His life should have the fragrance of Christ in him. And everyone's seeing something different because he has a joy that the world cannot have nor know. So think about Romans 3:23. What is this hope of the glory of God? Well, in Romans 3:23, the great reality for the whole human race is all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The message there is that because of sin, no one had the ability to come into the presence of this thrice holy God. All throughout the whole Old Testament, no one could look upon his face. They would be consumed. And Paul's saying here, look, we have a certain hope. He says in verse 8, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with perseverance. So we're hoping for something we do not see. Our sin has made us unable to see the face of God. If what was lost at the fall was any ability to come into this presence of the holy God, the sure hope, having been justified by faith, is, my friends, we will see the face of God in the resurrection. I love 1 John 3:2. It states this, "Beloved, we are children of God, and it's not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And so he leaves you today to think about the glorious hope that awaits us, the sure and certain hope that is steadfast as an anchor for the soul, that we will see the smiling face of God when we die because of Christ's righteousness imputed to our accounts by faith. And we can live in that hope. Isn't that joyful? Now, he leaves us with one more thing to consider today and this week. Justification by faith also brings a peace that is lived. Listen to verse 3. "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Isn't that a wonderful verse? Not only does this truth give you total assurance, access to the throne room, hope that you will be and see the glory of God when you die, but he says one more thing in this passage. We glory, because we're justified by faith, we glory in whatever God sends down our paths in this life, as trying as it may be, because we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Paul's saying being justified and having total peace with God, that means that whatever happens to us in this life is something we can and will endure because he's poured out his love in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. It serves a purpose. And so look at what he says. We also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, literally endurance, and perseverance character, literally approved character, and character hope, which does not disappoint. Look, when we know that we are at peace with God and totally absolved before his throne, loved by him, we know that what tribulation he showers down upon us is never because he is somehow angry with us or just desiring to make life hard. He's made you a vessel of his love, an object of his care to refine and make you more into the image of his son, Jesus. And so his refinements that often come through great tribulation in this life are given so that we would learn what Paul learned, that our lives would totally be his, and that we would magnify him in our bodies, whether by life or by death. It is a mark of his love when we endure tribulation. It's a mark of his love set upon us that he is a proving character in us to show that we are his children. You know, there was a student who traveled to China. And before he left, a friend asked him, and he said, "If God loved the Chinese church so much, why did he allow so much suffering to come upon it?" He couldn't answer that. "Why would God allow them to suffer?" is the question. Many of you have heard of the persecuted church in China. In 1950, there were about 840,000 Christians in China. Today, after 50 years of horrendous persecution, fascinatingly, the Chinese church numbers around 50 million. When he came back to his friend in America, he told him the news about what he had saw in China. And he said, "Look, I have a question for you. If God loves the American church so much, why hasn't he allowed us to suffer like the church in China?" See, the fact is that through much tribulation, we must enter the kingdom of heaven. Tribulation in our lives is for the purpose that the power of Christ's life would be shown in us and his strength would be revealed in weakness. Through tribulation. You know, who learned that in his life? Well, it was the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations that I was receiving, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it would depart from me. And he said, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" And what did that produce in Paul? Well, soon after he would say what? "I will therefore boast in my infirmities, in reproaches, in persecutions, in needs, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Isn't that what he learned? His tribulation produced endurance in this life to stay the course. The approved character that he demonstrated through the trial showed that the power of Christ was resting upon him, and the hope that it produced made him long for the heavenly world when he would put on incorruption and immortality. And so, my friends, having been justified by faith, all of life can be lived now in joy, knowing that God has poured out our love into his hearts as he has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so what have we learned this week on Abounding Grace? If you are in Christ, war is over. Having been justified by faith, you have peace with God. You can live fully assured that Christ's death was for you, fully reconciling us to God, giving us access to his throne to cry out, Abba, Father, filling you with a certain hope as an anchor for the soul that when you die, you will see the smiling face of his love. You will see the glory of God because you will stand there in the robes and the righteousness of Christ. And then, whatever happens to us until that glorious day, he gives in his love. He has committed himself to produce in you approved character because of the love he's lavished into your hearts through the Spirit. And so the cry then today is up then in the Christian life. You are justified by faith, and that has huge implications. Being assured of his love, that means that the sword of his wrath has been put into the sheath, and he has embraced you with the bonds of love in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so that's what we've learned this week. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you know that peace today? The peace that surpasses all understanding that has lived in our lives, but the objective peace that has reconciled us to the Father. Jesus Christ is the only one who can bring the peace that this world is so often searching for in each and every way. And every day I see people searching for peace in all these different ways. And of course, that's what all the secular psychologists are trying to bring in people. Nothing is lasting. Nothing solves the greatest need. We have to be at peace with this God, at whom we are by nature at war with because of our sin. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. My friends, that's a reason to rejoice today. That's a reason to live the Christian life in fullness of joy, knowing that whatever he sends down our paths, we can live knowing that Christ is living in us. His power is being displayed through it as we stand totally acquitted and justified by his grace.
Growing in grace so that we don't groan in disgrace. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We spend just a few minutes a day together, but it's our hope and prayer that those few minutes help you grow in your understanding of God's great love for you and I in his Son, Jesus Christ. As always, questions, comments, and prayer requests are more than welcome. We'd love to dialogue with you, especially as it relates to our union in Christ. You can call us 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you would like to write to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road. We're here in Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, as always, you're welcome to contact us by phone, especially if you would like directions to the church. If you're planning on a visit, we'd love to see you. We meet at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on the Lord's Day at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. Directions, again, call 360-318-0429. Or better yet, visit our website. Learn a bit more about us here at United Reformed Church in Linden and Abounding Grace, who we are and what we believe. LindenURC.com. Again, LindenURC.com. We even have a map, directions to the church, if you'd like to join us. LindenURC.com or 360-318-0429. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.